Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host, and one of my favorite hard rock bands ever, and I've seen them all, Snap Ahead.
Yeah. What's up, all right? What's up?
Now, man? I hope I said that with enough New York Snap Ahead.
It's Snap Ahead, all right.
No,
that's it.
Snap Ahead.
Now, I was driving in the car here, I realized, holy cow, they should have brought their big cigar-smoking fish, right?
Yeah, which, yeah.
But anyway.
That's our logo, by the way.
Okay, so why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Anthony. I play bass, obviously.
Steve Budgie Werner, drums.
Doug Palmer, I sing.
Mike Miranda, guitar.
You know, what I love about you guys is I took my girlfriend, we saw you play at Harley Davidson at New Rock on Sunday.
Good show, good party.
You guys rock. You don't see many bands that are like old school, Aerosmith, Metallica, rock. So you're the real deal. And I'm so pleased to get you in here to play some of your original material. And you guys are so smart. Because when I talked to you earlier before the show, I said, how come you don't play your new material, your original material in the show? And you go, yeah, we do. And I actually remembered the song. I just thought it was a Metallica song.
I didn't know. Yeah, that was one of our songs, yeah.
We're getting there. It's been a long process for us, but we're finally starting to get a few of them out into the set.
That's awesome.
And people are starting to sing them, too. They're starting to remember them, the words. They're starting to groove to them, and that's always a good feeling.
So when are you going into the studio and coming out with at least some MP3s?
We're looking to get out by springtime, by April, to have at least four songs recorded and ready for people to check out at gigs.
Now, are you going to put together an EP, or are you going to do like a MySpace thing where you just sell the four?
It's an EP. That's it. We're going to do like you said.
I think we're on the Guns N' Roses bit.
11 years?
Yeah, 11 years. We're going to shoot for 10.
We're
going to try to beat them.
We're focusing.
You know, it's so funny. I had a commercial from like YouTube or somewhere, and it was this heavy metal band, and they're pounding and pounding, and then they go backstage and they take the wig off, they take their clothes off, and finally the crowd's waiting for them, and they're like these 90-year-old hunched over people. And everyone's shot
that's
for
not the real deal, right? No, we're the real deal. We're not wearing wigs.
Okay. So I can pull on it, right?
Pull on it, yeah.
Well, Mike, too. That's a wig.
Mine fell off.
He's letting me use it today.
So, you know, I read on your website how you got together. You want to give me a little synopsis of it?
Well, actually, the way we got together, me and Steve had a band a little prior to this that lasted a couple of years, and we don't need to mention what it was, I guess, but...
You can if you want
to. Slackjaw.
Well, yeah, we had a band called Slackjaw. It was a pretty big regional band, was together for a couple of years that featured him, myself, my brother, and this guy, Charlie, on vocals. Unfortunately, we had a little falling out, and it didn't work out. So Steve came up with a great idea. He says, you know what? We can't continue the band with the same name and replace the singer. Why don't we just start a whole new band, get a new singer? I know this guy from Connecticut. He's a smoking singer. Got the look, got the feel, got the voice. They're into Doug Palmer, which is the best thing that could have happened, because he definitely was the man. As soon as I met Doug, I loved his personality. We loved his vibe, great look, great singer, and real rock and roll with no attitude, which is, you know.
But the women hate him. He's ugly.
No, and the women love him, too. So he brought more girls to the show, which is never a harm. You know that.
You know about singers with LSD, right?
Yeah.
The lead singer disease.
Right. That's David Van Roth, right?
Dougie doesn't have that. No, Dougie does not have that. Most singers do. So we got together, and we started just, you know, going back out on the clubs. And before you know it, the following started to build up. Fortunately, we had a different guitar player at the time.
Unfortunately.
Oh. Because, you know, that guy didn't work out too well. But lo and behold, the best thing that could have happened was that guy leaving, because definitely Mike is the best player that we've had and the best, you know, guitar
old
player.
Old friend from the Bronx.
Absolutely.
Like kind of,
me and Anthony grew up together.
Yeah, we actually went to high school together, and come full circle, you know, Steve ran into Mike one day, me not knowing that he knew him, and says, you know, we got a spot for guitar. Why don't you come down and check out the band? He came to a gig one night, sat there, and his wife was with him, and he said, you know, she said, you got to join this band, man. You got to play with these guys. And we're glad that he did.
going on 6 years now.
6 years with Mike.
Yeah.
And he has the same hairdo as Roger Z.
And that's it, man. We've been playing basically every weekend for six, you know, since
well,
then.
It's 11 years straight with the other band.
Yeah, that's,
me and Anthony,
yeah, for
you know,
me,
it's, yeah. It's an offshoot. You know, the other band was a little more like college, you know,
yeah.
Playing cutting edge college stuff, younger stuff. This just developed into a little more straight ahead hard rock, metal. But we're not metal by any means, but you know, we'll do Zeppelin, we'll do Aerosmith.
You know, do Metallica.
Classic to metal, yeah, basically classic to metal. We run the gamut like that.
Actually, yesterday I learned 24 hours to go. I want to be sedated. You guys did such a good job. I went home, learned it one day. We're playing it this Friday.
That's good. That
goes over great.
Ramon's song, yeah, it's always.
From punk to like, you know, classic rock to metal, and try to keep like the girls involved as well. You don't want to just hammer it out just for the guys, and you know, the guys are great, but we want women at the show, so we try to get everybody in party.
Well, well, excuse me, but what metal songs do women like?
I'd like to know.
Yeah, girls today, they do like,
they like the Aerosmith. Not you crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they love it. Girls love the stuff that you could groove to and shake, you know,
right,
you know
right.
What. So, like, yeah. We try to keep a lot of that in there, too, you know. We adapt to every situation. Like, you saw us the other day at Hawley. What we did was we adapted the set right on the spot for that particular gig, for that particular crowd. You might come and see us somewhere else, and we'll be like...
The next week.
We'll make a left somewhere else. You know, we always keep
Disturbed,
it on the edge.
You know, a lot of different bands.
Right, because I knew most of the songs that you did on Sunday, and I know sometimes I go, I don't know any of these songs.
Right.
But, hence the lyrics that sit in front of me.
Well, you did a great job with the lyrics there because you had the railing and it was artfully blended behind it.
Perfectly placed.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, when you guys get bigger, you get the video monitor.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be great.
Right,
yeah.
That's... But, yeah, you guys are authentic. You're authentic. So what are some, you know, this show is going to air a number of times. What are the clubs that you usually play around the Westchester area?
We play everywhere from down in New Rochelle at Dudley's to Barney McNabb's to The Haunt, which are both in Yonkers. We do PJs up in Mayapack.
Vintage, that's right in the neighborhood
Vintage
here sometimes.
Over here. We have a new
Daniel
place.
J's.
Daniel J's is up by the Thunder Ridge Ski Area in Patterson.
All right.
We used to do a number of clubs in Manhattan. Manhattan kind of
worked
its way out of us. You know, we used to bring a huge amount of people there, like 5 years straight, Hogs and Heifers and some of the other places.
Right, unfortunately, right. Hogs closed. That was a
the
real staple
one.
For us.
Well, they closed there and opened in Vegas.
Yeah, the one, the one in New York. Yeah.
For us, so.
They wouldn't pay for us to come.
We couldn't take the shuttle, so.
Well, once we start laying to the originals, Manhattan may be a place that we may want to showcase
absolutely.
That stuff, so that may go back around to that at that point.
Yeah, well, the music scene is tough, but you know what? You guys have a following, and you play well, which is a very lethal combination. Speaking of playing well, what two songs are you going to do for us today?
Do All My Love?
Yeah, well, we're going to do a song called All My Love, which is going to be featured right now. And
right here and now, huh?
Right here and now.
Snap my head.
Snap my head.
There we go.
I wish I had the cigar.
Are we doing this now?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Right. Here we go.
Everyone ready?
Sure.
1, 2, 3, 4.
All my days, all my love, just what I wanna do.
MTV Storytellers, MTV Unplugged.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Fame and
Fortune. Guys, ready for the next one?
Yeah.
I think Mike's got to tune up a little.
All right. While he's tuning up, when's your next show?
We were at Daniel J's December 13th, and we have the big New Year's Eve extravaganza on the 31st at and Barney Yonkers. McNabb's. In Yonkers on Tucker Hole Road.
Now, tell me about Barney McNabb's. What is it going to cost? What does it include?
We got a really big cash door prize. We figure people are going to need the money this year. We do a lot of giveaways, DVDs, T-shirts, a bunch of other door prizes. It's hot open buffet, champagne toast at midnight. All the good things you expect on these. $20 in advance, $25 night of the show.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all. And you get a real show.
You get toast.
But drinks are extra.
Drinks for a little less.
Okay, I think it's $20 drinking.
I mean, think about it. You know, that's another thing I'd always want to get into. Is that a lot of times, you know, we've been doing this so long. It's like, even from me and him playing a band 20 plus years ago, but it's still $5 to get into any of the local scene, and you can't even go see a movie for less than $12.
$5. I mean, when you think about it, you can't even buy a bag of chips for $5 almost.
Yeah, well, musicians' salaries are what's holding inflation down. Yeah. Anyway, next song, guys.
All right.
All right.
This is called Break Me Down.
Ready?
Me to the interesting question. Do you guys rehearse? It's always an embarrassing question because I find the best bands never rehearse.
We really don't rehearse. Well, we do sometimes.
Well, we tell each other what songs we're going to do prior to the gig, so everybody kind of does their homework at home. And then,
exactly.
As long as everybody does their homework, we're pretty good.
Raj, there's been many times where we've done songs for the first time with Doug on right stage. On stage.
So I live in Connecticut, so for me to drive down for rehearsal, it kind of gets, you know.
So we'll wing them right on stage. Yeah. Hey, what's that?
So we haven't even rehearsed them as a band. We just come in, we just kind of like wind them in. We just
sometimes
just
the three of us will get together if it's more difficult arrangement on a song.
I mean, granted, it don't come out perfect all the time, but, you know, musicians notice the little glitches, whereas the natural audience kind of lets it go.
Right. As long as the attitude's
there. We're
not saying
we're perfect by all means.
I think it's a fun winging by, you know, just flying by the city.
What are the latest songs you've added to the repertoire? Some of the newest songs you've added.
Well, what we do sometimes is like Doug mentioned before, we rotate songs. Sometimes we'll take songs that we haven't done in months and bring them back into the set where they'll be new to people that never saw us play. Some of the newer bands that are out there, or sometimes we'll take some classic stuff where it's been out for many years, but we've never played it. For instance, we'll take a Who song, or maybe a new...
Behind Blue Eyes was just added.
Yeah.
So even though it's old, it's new for...
It's new for us. Right. We've never done it, so our crowd's never heard us do it. So, you know, stuff like that.
We also examine, you know, what's out there, what's new. Like, brand new AC/DC is out now. So we'll say something, obviously, four-piece could do, but, like, New Guns N' Roses. It's a lot of, you know...
You're going to have to get stuff like that.
Keyboards and sequence, if we can pull it off... So there's certain bands like Korn or Nine Inch Nails that, you know, we've tried those songs and see how far you could get with it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You got to play it live. Like, sometimes it'll sound good in the studio when we're rehearsing, but...
Yeah, we absolutely don't use any sequences or fake backing tracks or anything like that. So basically, when you see Snap Ahead, everything's going on right there. So we're limited to what the four of us can actually do. Musically, because it's just bass, drums, guitar, you know?
The state of rock today, what do you guys feel? State of rock today.
Wow. It's starting to improve.
That's what I feel.
It's starting to improve. It's been pathetic for a long time.
Yeah.
It's starting to improve.
And, well, I guess AC/DC had a number one album.
So did Metallica. All the classic bands, they always shoot right back up to the top.
Right. But unfortunately, I think, you know, the real success in the business is not shooting to the top and falling right off the charts, right?
It's like so hard to keep the public's attention. I think the way people are today, it's here today, gone tomorrow, so much more quicker. I mean, years ago, you used to get an album, open it up, read the album. Every song on there was almost a hit. You know, now you're lucky if you get two hits off of an album. Then by the time those hits make it, there's another person already in the spotlight. It's just a constant rotation of different music, too. There's such a huge genre of music that people, you know, they get bored with it, listening to the same stuff over and over.
Look at the record business today. I mean,
there's no record. They're more interested in what's going on in the rock star's life or the movie star's life than they are in what they're actually doing.
Now.
You know?
It's a reality show.
Mystique is what I'm missing. Like, back in the old days, there was a lot of mystique to the bands. You didn't see them in your face every 5 minutes. You never knew what they were going to look like next time you saw them. And there was a whole, you know, when are we going to do this time, you know?
Very
there was
publicized a lot of now.
Well, to me, it's very weird. The record companies complain that people are stealing music, and yet I can go on the internet and see a video of any band that I like for free.
Yeah.
So
that's
how can they?
Situation, though,
how could they complain that people are not buying stuff when they're putting it out when they're putting the video out for free?
I don't feel any sorrow for the record companies for what they've done to bands and musicians and artists, songwriters, whatever, over the years. At this point, it's like I feel it really should be up to the artists. Like a couple of years ago, when Metallica got into the whole big thing with Napster and releasing, you know, why should they be able to trade our music for and when they're not going to see? It should be up to the artists, you know, whether they want to release it. For people, if they want to download it,
it's kind of the give and take. It's actually half good and half bad. Like today, like you just mentioned, back in the 70s, there was no such thing as YouTube, MTV, anything like that. So now, if you know a band wants to get out there, even an underground band could get exposure pretty quick by putting something on YouTube.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah, it totally is. I mean,
in a way, there's the good part of it, and the way there's the bad part.
It is a hazard of technology. I mean, you're going to use this to get yourself out there. Then once you get out there, now this thing kind of takes you over where you can't sell it because everybody has it already. So now you can't sell your product. So therefore, now what happens?
You got to
go to a bar with a gun in your pocket and shoot yourself to get the recognition. You know what I mean?
That's football, man.
That's football, right? Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
know, but the funny thing was, I was because I was doing I Want to Be Sedated. I looked it up on the internet, and basically that's a road song. It's basically the Ramones were complaining that their management worked them 300 days a year, and they were in England, in London, at Christmas, and the whole place shuts down, and they had nothing to do. And that's what the song is about, being on the road with nothing to do.
That hour and a half then. On stage, or whatever it is.
17 minutes, that was their whole show. But the main
mind-numbing.
But the main point was, they made all their money through T-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Merchandising is huge. Huge. Yeah, you got good merchandising?
Because the turnover is unbelievable,
A lot of bands do that, you know. Do the van tour, you know, across the states, and you're barely making enough money to pay for gas, especially gas this year, but to get through and get to the next hotel, and you got to sell the shirts and the CDs, you know, just to make it.
And all we want is $5 at the door.
Roger's going to help us get that up to $10 next year.
Hopefully we can
they
go
should
higher.
Really, really. I'm saying this right now. The bars should actually, all the bars right now, and I'm probably going to get shit from this, but all the bars, $10 at the door, and your first drink is free. Everything's
go
going up.
And I'm
going
to get
$5.
That
deal. You know, for what we put into it, all the rehearsal we do. But you know all the stuff
it's
we
a
do.
Lot of blood sweat
you know, $5
work,
going
work.
Into the bar. You know? There's not a lot of people going out to the bars that much anymore either. That's the hardest.
Do you really think $10 would stop a lot of people? It might stop some people. You know, if
well,
they're
your
tight,
first drink is free too.
You know, here's the way I look at it, real simply. A restaurant that has music at night is looking to fill that place with customers that they wouldn't normally have at that time.
Right.
If they're going to pay you $500, $1,000, they've got to make that at least probably 1.5 times that just to pay for electricity and the help. To me, it's a business. Now, you guys have a following. Yeah. So you're every club owner's dream.
We do.
We have good drinking following.
We have a very good
drinking. Right. Is a very happy.
You're always advertising at someone's birthday, and let's do shots. And
we got a really good group of people that follow us.
We do.
We are
really
so thankful for that. You have no
thanks
idea.
Absolutely. Very lucky. People that come thanks see us everybody. Every week, man. Yeah. They just, you know, they're the best.
The hardcore snappers.
Every weekend.
They've been with us a long time. We go to the bars every weekend. We're like, wow, man! Like, you've been to the last like 8 shows. You see this guy, you're like, and you're thankful for that. You really are. I mean,
you can't take
nothing
for granted.
Never repay them except hopefully put on a good show.
But what you do is you create a scene, and people want to be part of that scene.
Yeah.
Part of the Snap Ahead deal, you know, besides you know good musicianship, good songs, and good vibe and everything, is that whole family kind of thing that most people that have come to see the band, and there'll be people like in the family. They prodigal son, they go away for a year, then they come back, but then they'll bring 2 friends, and they bring 4 friends. Somebody comes in from California, somebody's cousin, and we just had a person from Ireland come in, you know, and
it's usually a party, man, so
when they
that's
start bringing their kids in, saying, this is my daughter, this is my son, you know, you're like, wow.
Well, guys, I want to thank you.
To the generations.
I want to thank you so much for part 1 of Snap Ahead.
All right.
And get ready, people, for part 2.
Thank you, Rod.
Thank you, Rod.
All right. We're out.
Give me 5, brother.